Well, I didn't go to that meeting. Brother Ross says, no, I got deterred. But they really didn't get on any. I did get a report, and they didn't really get on any doctrine. Just talked about issues. Well, unruly saints moving around from one place to the other, floating around, stuff like that they talked on. So I wasn't supposed to go, evidently. Well, I didn't go, so I'm waiting on the tapes. Brother Stewart?
Yeah, brother, before you get started, I'd like to ask a question. Okay. I don't have a problem with people celebrating Christmas at home, you know, and all that. I know you talked about that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really have a problem with us having a Christmas pageant at church, you know. But the question I want to ask, is this a prelude to bringing Christmas into church? Am I going to walk in one day and see a Christmas tree and a foyer and that kind of stuff, or what?
Well, I don't have any plans to put any Christmas trees in the church, so to speak. There are some churches in the body that do that. I don't have a problem with it. It's obvious to me we went too far with that. We're out of balance on that. And we're bringing more persecution, discomfort, unrest, confusion upon ourselves to take such a strong stand. It's really, in my opinion, it's foolish on our part. Again, you can't count probably 6 or 7 churches in the body that ever took that stand that we took on it. I took the stand. Brother Tucker took it. Brother Watson took it. Neither of the Pattons, they both adjusted it after they first took a stand, but they adjusted it. None of the leading men in the body took that stand except Brother Leniger and Brother Tucker were really strong on it.
But Brother Leniger didn't
do
it until after he got here.
Yes, he did.
We weren't celebrating Christmas, so then is when he
I guess that. You know, I guess the question would be, for those of you that are having trouble with it, would be maybe you could help us to see the damage it's doing. You know, what damage is it doing?
Well, I don't know if I'm the one to talk about it, but I know when I first come into church, I was ungodly. I didn't know nothing about God. I mean, zero. Brother Leniger called me a white piece of paper one time. That's what he called me. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I come in, and Christmas before that was just a holiday to party. That's all it was. There's nothing in it about Christ. It was all pagan. Yeah, but anyway, when I come to church, if I'm not mistaken, but I think it was actually Brother Leniger gave me that book he was talking about, and I still have it. All right. And I read that book, and I didn't quite understand it because I didn't have the knowledge. So I put it aside. Then I heard the teaching on Catholicism, the beast, the image of the beast, and how bad it was. And so I picked that book up again, and I reread it, and it made so much sense. Okay? But I didn't take it at face value. That guy, he did a lot of research. I researched his research. I looked his reference up. I have spent hundreds of hours studying that on holidays and stuff. Regardless, if you celebrate Christmas at home, that's fine. What you do in your home is your business. But
well,
it is.
Not, but Brother Fred, it's not. It's not if it's wrong.
It's pagan.
You know, it's not. You know, it ain't. You know, like you're saying, what you do at home is your business. It's not. If it's wrong to do, it's wrong to do at home. It's like it's wrong to do at church.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right there. And we don't sell. I don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas in the house. We discarded it years ago, and whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. I feel in my heart that I've done the right thing to try to please God. But Christmas, the holidays, back in the 3rd and 4th century, when Catholicism first started getting started, the Catholics, they had services. I don't know what they called that time, but eventually come to masses. They had low mass, they had high mass, and somebody come up with the idea of celebrating the birth of Christ, and that's fine. That's good. Good. Celebrate somebody's birthday because they love them. But during that time, paganism, all these people they brought into the Catholic Church had these pagan ideas. And I'm not saying the church sanctioned it, but just use your imagination and just look at over the years how all these pagan ideas got involved in Christmas. Christmas, Christ Mass, high mass, low mass. For example, the Christmas tree. Nimrod, when he died, history shows it. It's in history. You got to look it up. Through writings of hundreds of years ago and thousands of years ago, that he was born, but when he died, he was born back as an evergreen tree sprung from a dead tree stump. Okay? His wife did that, or his cohabitant, whatever she was to him. She told the people that so they could keep control. She can still have power over the people. In the Old Testament, you can look it up. Look up the word green, groves, or even groves. You can see all through there where they, through the Old Testament, where they took idols and they had idols in the green groves, the groves of the tree. During that time also, whenever they had a new king come in that was righteous, what was one of the first things he did? He cut down the groves, okay, because they actually worshipped people in the green trees, the green groves. Jeremiah 1, learn not the way of the heathen, for the way of the heathen are vain. For one cut the tree out of the forest, he decked with gold and silver, he fastened with nail and hammer, so it moved not. That's a perfect example of what they did to the evergreen tree, which was born back as Nimrod. Okay, that's pagan. Yuletide log. What is we've all heard the phrase Yuletide log. What's a Yuletide log? They would actually, in the latter days, they would light a log and jump over. Where did that come from? Why would somebody want to jump through fire? The ancient Israelites took their children and passed them through the fire to what the god Moloch, was that his name? They sacrificed their children in the valley at Gehenna. It's all pagan. It's all pagan through there. Our forefathers, Brother Linger and all them that believed this, I really had a reason they wanted to believe this. They wanted to get away as far away as from Catholicism as they could. Why would you... why would you want to celebrate something that is pagan? I mean, it's absolutely pagan. Just because everybody else does something does not make it right. It doesn't.
Brother Fred, how many people today do you believe that's putting a Christmas tree up in their house is worshiping some false idol or god? That's not the purpose. See, you got to take the intent of what anybody does, the purpose and the spirit and motive behind it. See, now maybe it came from, I understand everything you're saying because I didn't only study that book, I researched his research also. I used to teach that straight down the line. You know, anybody that sat under me can tell you how hard I was on Christmas. What we've done is we took that. See, when we find out there's anything that was out of balance with Babylon, anything Babylon had out of balance or had wrong, because of our understanding of Babylon, we worked on that so strong that we went completely across the road, got in another ditch with it. See, but the balance is what we need to work at. We need to work at wisdom of finding a balance in something. We worked on it so hard that you never hear a man in this body, hardly, that held that position ever even teach on the birth of Jesus Christ. They don't even talk on those scriptures because they're so hard against Christmas, they leave that off. So to get the balance in it is, I think I made the statement to leave the commercialization of Christmas alone. And, don't get involved in that or don't get that in your spirit of, I haven't to this day. I can't remember if we've ever had a Christmas tree in my house since we started teaching this teaching, that book came out, Brother Watson. But I think, I may be wrong, but I think we had one time a little, I think we put up a little tree and decorated it for the grandkids on the farm. But I may be wrong about that. But if I didn't do it, I thought about doing it. But I'll just be honest, I don't remember if we did it or not. But we didn't celebrate it. I haven't personally celebrated it, but I'm sure not going to teach against that in this church. I can tell you that right now, because I want to bring a balance back to this, and we could go back. His teaching on the balls hanging on the tree was the worship of sun gods. Those were things that, you know, that pagans brought in. The Catholic Church adopted those things to compromise with those different religious elements to let them keep some of their idealistic ideas about their gods. And I don't have any doubt but what there was a lot of paganistic things adopted by the Catholic Church. I mean, the Catholic Church did a lot of things that we're trying to overcome. We're trying to get out of, get away from. But here again, you know, I just want to show you that taking too critical, too radical a stand without finding the balanced anything will bring as much damage, and it has brought damage. There's people right here in this church that got family members and friends that are still to this day bitter against them for the things that they've done and belittling Christmas, and they don't know, those people don't no more understand that than anything. They just think you're crazy. You know, they just think you call yourself a Christian, but you belittle and run down the celebration of Christ's birthday. My point is, it's not beneficial for us to take that kind of stand against it. It is beneficial for us to understand it, understand the falsehood that's involved in it. Yet, I think we can take a positive attitude and use it to our benefit, not to become a part of the commercialization, not to, you know, build a big hype about all of the commercial part of it, but to recognize that our nation still allows, there's probably going to come a day it won't, but to this day, we still celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in this nation. It's not only this nation, it's become a worldwide almost celebration, day of celebration, not in some nations, I'm sure, Muslim dominant nations, Jewish dominant nations, although they do celebrate Christmas among the Jewish Christians in Israel. But, for us to take such a stand to try to boycott it, to me, brings undue and unreasonable persecution upon ourselves when we could turn and take another attitude and another position on it to use it to promote Christ coming into this world, that it should be a celebration of His coming in. I think we of all people are to be the people that has the right stand on it, that we do celebrate and rejoice that Jesus came into this world at His birth. What better time to do it than the time when the whole world is doing it wrong? So, you know, for people to come in and see something a little bit different and a little different position on it, they're going to hear us. They're definitely going to hear us talking about the paganistic part, the commercialization part, not getting caught up in all of that, not going in debt and all these gifts and everything. They're going to see that and hear it. You ain't never going to get this ministry to agree to all that falsehood that's wrapped around it. But we can use it as a platform to speak about Christ and our little children. You know, here are our little children. You know, I grew up, y'all, some of y'all may not have been. I wasn't a white page when I came in. Some people were, but I was born of God out there in Babylon. And, of course, we celebrated Christmas. I never heard nothing. This body never heard nothing like that until Brother Watson brought it to our attention through that book. Everybody celebrated Christmas. But I think one thing we ought to consider is great men like Brother Atwell, Brother Souders, Brother Mears, all of those men that were leaders among this body, both Brother Patton's, that they adjusted that. They never, ever asked their people to boycott Christmas, but they all taught on the paganistic side of it. When somebody got up and got real hard on it and got on the other side over in a ditch, they just kept quiet because they didn't, you know, those men honored other elders. But if you watched what they did bring a balance in their assemblies to it, and they didn't, you know, like I said, I never heard anybody publicly before I heard Billy Brown get up and say, it's not profitable. And I'm going to be honest with you, when he said that, I didn't agree with him. That rubbed me raw. He got my hackles up when he said that. That, you know, it's not profitable for us to take a stand against Christmas. It took me several years for that to soak in and for me to begin to realize that we're not using wisdom here. We can, you know, I don't run down like, you know, I mean, people in these different organizations and that are our brothers and sisters out there, sometimes we have to talk so strong to get the point across, but I always try to smooth it over a little bit. I don't want to offend my brothers and sisters that God hasn't shown them this way yet. I still want to reach out to them, and I don't want to be so abrasive to them. You know, I do know there's times that our message on Babylon is going to be abrasive. And I think there's times for that, and I think there's times God wants us to deal with that. I believe that obviously when God brought this, I believe God brought this to us. You know, I think the Lord did that. But our embracing it, when we begin to embrace the something that Babylon has wrong or they've got out of balance and God shows it to us, then I think God wants us to find the balance of it. And many times we examine it to the point that we blow it, you know, up so big that, and we have to preach it hard to get the people to understand what we're saying. It's like I said, there's, you know, if you go back in this body, we've changed on a lot of things. Women's holes, women's hair, women's wearing, you know, open-toed shoes, drinking coffee. There were several way back there men that preached against that. Red dresses, red cars, you know, things like that. Brother Michael's had his hand up long.
I think when you first relax on Christmas, we kind of went overboard. But when, after time, I don't know if we put up a Christmas tree since the kids all left the house. But to me, it's obvious the Apostle Paul, when he went on Mars Hill, The statue to the unknown God was not a statue to the Hebrew God. Paul used that as an opportunity, as a teaching lesson. And even though the Christmas tree and all the...
That'll bring you another... I'm so garbled.
Paul celebrate those holidays on his own? Or he just used that certain instance not to offend somebody?
I don't think he used any of those holidays. He used an instance, but he did even though he taught against all the, against circumcision and holding the Jewish holidays, he himself went to the temple at Passover and those things to as an opportunity. So I'm, and I've heard Christians use, and I couldn't quote them because I never really paid a lot of attention to them or got that much out of them for myself, but use a different objects of Christmas as a teaching lesson, not for paganism, but as an somebody to try to lead somebody to Jesus. And so I think that's what, if I'm not mistaken, that's kind of what you're saying, is we could take this opportunity to of the holiday season and say, we, here's the story of Jesus and why he came to the earth, and we don't have a, we can,
We have that.
I was just using that example of Paul. And Jesus used all kinds of allegories and stories of things that were around him, of natural things. And this is a natural occurrence in our country. And
the thing I'm trying to bring out about it is you're not going to stop it. And to take a position on it to get ourselves a blot, which makes us further deemed as a people that shouldn't be considered. You know, I'm just saying we can turn around and take a positive attitude towards this and use it to our benefit. And one of the things I'm bringing out about the leadership of this body, I think we need to be careful when we rise up against leading men and try to say and show that they're wrong on their positions that's leading this people. God called these men. One thing you got to understand is God calls leadership. And if you rise up too strong in a position to stand against leadership, not just in this church, but I'm talking about me. I got to be careful about rising up against the leadership of this body and taking a position on something that the brethren are not going to hear me on. I need to be wise enough to realize even if I don't agree with them, I need to just hold my foot in the house of God until I got a voice, till God gives me a voice. And then there's a certain way, you know, with a certain meekness and humility to approach things without doing it in the spirit of attack. Now, I'm not saying you're doing that, Brother Stewart. I don't feel like you're doing that. I just think that your position on it became so strong that, you know, I can see that, you know, what I'm saying on it is scaring you. And I appreciate that, because I wouldn't want anybody just to give up anything, you know, just, you know, for any reason or just because somebody said it. I think we got to listen to our hearts. We got to listen to God, but I don't have any doubt in my mind that we're out of balance on this and it needs adjusted in this assembly and in some assemblies in the body. Maybe not ever, and it's not my position to change any of those assemblies. It's my position to deal with this one.
Understand. The last 30 years, I've really tried to uphold the standards. I know the last year, and I'll be honest, I've been wearing short sleeve shirts at work in the summertime. It's hot outside. We work in the concrete. And I feel bad about that. But, you know, in the last 30 years, I've refused to go to Christmas parties. I've refused to have anything to do with Christmas. And I never did catch any flack over that. Zero. You know what I caught the most flack over in the last 30 years? Dress standards. You know, dress standards is what I've caught the most flack over. Okay. So if our dress standards are offending people outside, why don't we compromise some of those? What is wrong with me having a mustache? What is wrong with me drinking a little bit of wine? You know, what is wrong with a woman wearing a pair of pants as long as it's decent? I've seen men with pants that are just outrageously sinful looking. You know, they shouldn't wear them at all. I'd rather see them in a dress. But what is wrong with those things if we're not to offend the world and stuff like that? If we're trying to be more blend with them so they don't get offended, why don't we change our dress codes?
Brother Fred, you're probably one of the only people in this room that hadn't offended anybody on your stand with Christmas, if that's true. I could just start asking people to show their hands, and they'd just tell you, I've offended my family. My family thinks I'm crazy. I've offended people at the office. There's people here. Phil Fisher wouldn't even accept a gift, if I'm not mistaken. I think he counseled with me about that when I first came here. And he thought I must have lost my mind when I sort of told him my position on Christmas, because he had never even, I don't think, thought, much less heard a minister in this body do that. Okay, this here coffee, by the way, they've got a pot back there called Jamaica Me Crazy. So she'll bring it around. This is a toast to today's Bible study. Sister Ogden.
And my kids worked. We were close enough to the Baptist church. Okay, when we came out because of the filth that we saw in the Baptist church, okay? But we went to Springdale. We would drive 19 miles to go to church, and we loved it. But one thing I noticed that they, in their own homes, and this is what always got to me, in their own homes, they would have the Christmas tree and that. They did not give out presents, but they would accept presents. And to me, it ranked. If what is in my home should reflect what I go to church to, that's how I was raised from the time I was born. And I have a little tiny wooden nativity set, and I still feel guilty. Should I have that up? So I'm willing to put up a little tiny tree and all of that, but I want to know that if somebody comes to my house, I want it to reflect the church as much as I am able to reflect it. So what you folks say, if you think that it's all right for us to have a Christmas decoration, I don't mind having a tree. It's just pretty. You know, it doesn't. So I just want to know. I've got some kids coming down. I've got a grandson that wants to be baptized. And I want him to be baptized into the body of Christ.
So, I do want everybody to know I'm not promoting that y'all go out and get you a Christmas tree and put it up. That's your decision. You just make a decision on it. But whatever you do on Christmas, try to hold it into a balance of being, you know, portraying the Spirit of Christ. As I said, I don't know of anybody today that has an idol in a Christmas tree. Most people that buy it, it's because of the tradition of what the tradition of Christmas has become in our country. Now, you know, I'm sort of a... It's become the tradition of America. America. Yeah, the Christian world. It's become a tradition of the Christian world. It started with a lot of ideology and things like that. And if you go back to the Catholic Church, a lot of that came there. It was way out of balance. But are y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Do you not understand that it is for us to take a position on this so strong to boycott it, that it's really foolish. I think it's foolish, and I think the rest of the brethren have come to that understanding that it's not wise to take that kind of position on it. It is a time in this country and many places in the world that we are that celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what I think we ought to capitalize on, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ that should rule and live in our hearts. And I don't, if we take a position against that, I think we're unwise, because we can use it to our benefit, not to our degradation. Brother Stewart?
Does anybody know why the Puritans come to America?
Why what?
Can anybody tell me why the Puritans come to America? Anybody? Wrong. It was not for religious freedom. The Puritans come from the countries in Scandinavian, over in Holland, places like that. They left Europe and places to go there to get religious freedom. They come to America because they was losing their children to the world. Back then, they didn't have internet. They didn't have movies. They did not have pizza, like, you know, just things to keep you busy, games. They had parties, all right? They left that country, Dutch, and over there and come to America so they could take their kids away from the society, and the society was pulling them, the kids, away from the church. Christmas was not celebrated in America until 1850-something. Somebody can Google it and correct me if I'm wrong on the date. Before then, in a lot of the major cities, it was illegal. They would be fined if anybody was caught celebrating Christmas. History, look it up. Our forefathers did not celebrate Christmas. Our forefathers, who were Protestants, did not bring that Catholic holiday to America. Catholicism brought it. The state of Maryland.
Brother Fred, just because it didn't, don't make it right.
They changed the law in the 1800s.
Just because their position on it was that doesn't make it right today. I'm trying to deal with our society and our church today.
How about our dress standards? That offends people.
Back. Well, we've compromised on. I already mentioned black holes for women, red dresses. We have compromised some on our standards. We should have. We were way too strong on it. We put women in gunny sacks and tried to make them look like they weren't even a woman. We've made lots of compromises in our women, in the way they wear their hair and everything else. We have made
adjustments. I agree. I've seen big changes in the last 30 years. I'm trying to use that in a comparison, okay?
Well,
because
you're
talking about just a second,
you
please,
are,
please.
But
if Christmas offends people, our dress offends people.
On the benefit and the degradation that it brings.
How many more people could we bring in here if we change our dress standards and women could wear nice-looking pantsuits? How many more people could we bring in here if we allowed our women to cut the hair? How many more people could we bring in here?
Please, brother.
If we just opened our... I don't want to do that.
Well,
I'm just trying
I'm
to use that example.
I'm going to stop you, Brother Fred. I'm going to stop you. You're not going to rise up over me in this church and come against something that I'm teaching. And you don't have the authority to do that, and God didn't call you to do that. I'm the leader of this church. And we're not going to abandon or boycott Christmas in this church. We're not going to do that. You got a position on it, and I will respect you in that. And you do not have to honor, you know, I'm not asking you to take it into your personal life. But don't put it on this congregation, because you're not the leader of this congregation.
Are you going to bring Christmas trees and stuff like that into our church?
I have no intentions of bringing Christmas trees into this church.
Thank you, brother.
I have no intentions of doing that. That's never been in my intentions. What my intention is to bring a balance. I want to see a balance in this church instead of trying to take, you know, positions that have hurt us. You know, I didn't start in this yesterday. I've been in here almost 40 years, and I've been a minister that long. And I've been to all the meetings. I've been faithful. And I've took the position again. I've been on both sides of this fence. And I understand, you know, everything you're saying. I taught it that way. I come right down the line of, you know, we're going to get too much of the world, too much of coming into the church and all of that. See, you can raise up, you can lift up standards. You can lift up things of the world to the point that people think that righteousness is the things that they don't do. They grade their righteousness by what they've took a law against. And I told my wife this yesterday. And, you know, be honest with you, I was talking about myself. I think I told her, me, but I think I included the church. I said, we still have a problem with the concept of the body of Christ versus our true relationship with Jesus. We still have a problem being able to find whether or not we're serving a concept of our teaching versus a true heart of relationship with Jesus. See, and there's where I'm really working on, is I want to see people have a balance in their heart where they understand that Jesus, He is the Lord and Savior of their life, and they're serving Him, and they're holding a balance of being careful of who they might hurt or who they might. And I understand that taking righteous positions and convictions is always going to bring some offense. I'm just saying the wisdom. The wisdom of balance of when and what to take a position on and not. Brother Weniger? Okay. I certainly don't want, you know, I don't want to offend Brother Stewart either. I don't want to offend any of you people. I'm not here trying to shove anything down your throats. I'm just trying to, you know, I've been here 7 years now. I haven't, this ain't been something, it's certainly not my hobby horse. You go look at my house. I don't have no lights dangling around it. I don't have no, what do you call them, silver things that hang, you know, tinsels or, I don't have none of that stuff. I never have. I don't do that.
I think if you would show us in the Bible where the God's people took in people and would eat things with them that they didn't do. They didn't believe in what they just adapted to the people they were working with. I don't know how to describe that.
Well, I think what you're saying is how that, you know, Jesus was found eating with the publicans and sinners, right, and he was ridiculed,
right,
and, you know, it was against the traditions of Jewish religion, uh-huh, and, right, and they were, you know, you know, he did that and suffered a lot from his brothers because of it, and he was trying to, no doubt, show that their spirit and motive and heart and wisdom wasn't right. And, you know, it's a good point that you're bringing out. You know, I never made any great strong stands. I did tell some of members in my family what our position was on Christmas and how paganistic it was, and they, you know, they thought I was nuts, and to this day they still think I'm, you know, probably foolish about that. You're not going to erase all that, like Brother Stewart's saying. You're not going to erase the fact that our standards of righteousness that we hold and other positions that we do feel are necessary to hold to. See, but this, what I'm trying to say about this is one thing that we have probably took too strong a position on it, and I think it's hurt us. It's brought a black mark on us more than it's helped us. And
Brother Smith?
Shown us a spirit, yes.
I sat under you for years, and now I'm going to tell you what my views are was when we came into the body. Well, my family and my wife's family celebrated Christmas. And we did too ever since we were small. And we came into this. My mother wasn't so much celebrating Christmas so much. But
that's good.
But when you took the stand against Christmas so many years ago, I followed you 100%. But I've got to say this now, and in defense of what you done, was that it hurt me with and my family with our standings with our rest of our family on both my wife's side and my side. And down through the years, I noticed that. And
Brother York, make yourself clear on what you just said now. Are you talking about when you followed me in my position against it?
Yes. When I followed you on your position against it, we suffered tremendously. But I bared with that. I have to say this too. I do appreciate your views on swinging over by looking at the positive side of it. Okay? And I begin to take this view of it. Because down through the years, my job was in construction, and in the wintertime, financially even,
batteries may be
we good. Were not able to get my family very many things. Now, that's the commercial side of it, you know, as far as a gift and stuff like that. And then on the other side of it, so we still, to this day, you know, I don't care about having a tree or anything in the house, but here's the way I begin to look at it, is that during that time, I try to, my family, to give them something to show them that I love them, that I want to show them that I appreciate them with me. And even my family on my side and my wife's family, you know, to send them a card or something to let them know. Because we did. We suffered really bad every Christmas. Because when we go visit them, I was very, very hard against it. And we suffered really hard. And when they give me a gift or something, I wouldn't give them nothing because I knew. And there was times I would refuse the gift, you know. But when you brought up the subject in Republic to say, you know, go ahead and receive that gift. And, you know, say thank you and try to return that favor. It made me look at it differently. You know, and I may be rambling on, but it really, when you took that stand against that, even knowing what all of that represented was paganism, but the time that it was showing of family love and showing that you love everybody, you love your family and things, and that's the way I'm beginning to look at it. But it helped me because when you took a stand against that time of year, I had really considered leaving because it you know, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle that side of it because of our family. But anyway, I'll shut up and let
one
you
of
call.
I think maybe one of the things that I might bring out that you're reminding me of is that, number one, I'm not just the position I have on Christmas right now. I've had it for at least 15, maybe closer to 20 years. Is that right, Brother Durham? Maybe longer. Well, whenever I made the adjustment on it. So I guess one of the things you might ought to do is just look around the Republic people and see how ungodly and worldly they've become because they changed on the position of Christmas with me. You know, just look at their lives, look at their homes, and look at their positions. I don't think I damage these people in any way. And so, and then it's the same way in the body. I have watched men and their assemblies that brought a balance to this. I don't think any of the... Now, there's a few people like... Sister Hannah, is Hannah here? I don't think they are. Brother Ross, you go to, and I don't know about the other churches because I've never been there at Christmas. I always go to his December meeting. He has a Christmas tree right in his foyer, you know, right in the foyer of the church. They do it every year. They've done it ever since. They, you know, and they have Christmas decorations in their dining room, and that about floored some of us when we first went there. Especially Brother Dial. He about done a double back flip over it. But, you know, most of us, you know, I thought, you know, that was a kind of a new twist to me. But, you know, I just, unlike one of the things I started in Republic that I've done here is giving our little children a sack of fruit, you know, on Christmas, whenever Christmas Sunday, whatever's close to it, the one before Christmas, I pass out, had to pass out a little bag of fruit. Your little children suffers in school. They go to school and everybody's, you know, talking about Christmas, and they make little Christmas cards one another. They give one another gifts, and your little child, you know, if he's not careful or if he's taught to, he won't accept it, or he'll become a black sheep there. See, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a standout because of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. But I think when you start bringing something that nobody else can understand, it doesn't bring any kind of witness to them. It doesn't show any kind of spirit of love and charity. Then I think, you know, we need to be careful with that. Brother Stewart, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to clarify. Remember when I first started this conversation, I said, what you do in your own home is your business. I am not calling anybody ungodly. I am not calling anybody heathens. Don't put that in my mouth. I'm not doing that. All right? I'm just needing clarification on how much of this is going to come into church. So I love y'all people, the Durhams and all y'all. And I know you have a Christmas tree in your house. That's fine with me. I don't care. So don't think I'm trying to put a condemnation on you, because I'm not. That's not my intention. I love y'all's people. With all my heart. And most of y'all know me for 30 years. Y'all know I'm not a knucklehead. I act like it every now and then, but I'm not.
I doubt that. I'm certain all the Republican people don't have Christmas trees. You know, but some of them might have. Some of them may have loosened up with their kids or grandkids or whatever. And, you know, again, I just don't know anybody that's worshiping a Christmas tree, making an idol out of it today, or making a compromise, or that it has the same meaning it had many, many years ago, that, you know, that idolaters came into the church and were able to hold idolatry positions on all of that stuff. I just don't think that's, you know, most people, a lot of people celebrating Christmas today ain't even Christians, and they could care anything about Jesus having any part of it. It's just a tradition. You know, all of the celebration, the decorations and all of that, and the lights and all, I think they're pretty. Somebody said that. Yeah, they're pretty. But, if you can't pay your bills, go ahead, Brother Stewart.
Can I make one more comment,
yeah,
or do I need to shut up?
Yeah.
Okay. Learn not the way of the... Do not learn the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. And you keep bringing back, well, it's a custom. Yeah, it's Catholicism and all that spread across the world. The Muslims don't celebrate Christmas. They don't believe in Christ. But it is a custom. And there's nothing wrong with it if you want to do it in your own home. I just want to try to make a point.
It's
I personally do not believe it needs to be brought into church.
It's not necessarily a vain custom. It depends, again, what you have to identify vanity. What, you know, in other words, what's the intent? What is the motive? That all has to do with what's vain in one's heart, what their mind is. In other words, like Brother Michael Smith's point on the idol on Mars Hill. That was vain to the to those in Athens. But Paul took a different position on it to use it for their benefit. He wasn't vain to, he wasn't using it in a vain way. That's, maybe you could wrap your mind around that. I'm saying don't become vain like the world has become. I'm saying use it for the benefit of portraying Christ, His birth, what it, what the true spirit of Christ is about. Understand the vanity that other people, their position of vanity, or their position of custom, but, you know, but I'm saying you can use it without being tainted with it. See, don't take it into your spirit. Don't take it into your, you know, your motive and your ideologies, but just realize you're not going to stop this that's going on out here in this world. Now, here in this church, in, like, for an example, you know, I asked Brother Fisher to put together a little skit about the birth of Christ during this time, because that's when our kids are hearing about it, that's when the world's talking about it. I want the children in this church to understand the scriptures on the birth of Jesus Christ. I want us to keep it holy. I want to be righteous. I don't want no Christmas trees on the platform. I don't want you hanging, you know, all of that. I'm not wanting you to do all that. I'm not promoting that side of it. I want to promote the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not going to take a stand against the traditions that the world's using. I'm going to use it to my benefit if I can.
And I don't have a problem with that play either. I think it'd be good. I really do. We need to teach our children about the birth of Christ.
And then there were some songs written. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive their King. There's some wonderful Christmas carols that probably were written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. See, God never, you'll find God out there in the Catholic Church. If you just go out there, you'll find out there's people out there speaking in tongues, that God is in the mix of all of that. He don't hate it so much that He's boycotted them. He's looking for anybody He can touch, reach. And so God is, you know, I can't become a part of their system, and I don't think the Lord's becoming a part of it, but any heart of faith that'll reach out to Him, I think He's leaping on the mountains and skipping on those hills today. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, let's don't become a part of it and take it into our spirit so much that we become a part of the vain or the commercialism side of it. But let's use this to our benefit. Let's find the balance to it. Let's don't get plumb over in the other ditch where we don't even... We won't even speak of it. We won't even, you know, touch it. You know, we don't want to get that kind of spirit.
This is just to support what you say. With the way that our politics and everything is going today, it is getting where we can't ever witness about Christ. And this season, eventually one day, is not going to be about cross. And what it would be a prime purpose and a good reason to be a witness to people by telling them about the birth of cross and reminding them why we're thinking about cross at this time of the year.
Yeah. One of the things I do want all of you to understand is, Brother, you know, I don't want you to feel bad at Brother Stewart. I don't feel bad at him. Because I understand that he's got a legitimate, serious, heartfelt concern. And he just, you know, this what I'm saying is, you know, it goes against what he's embraced in his heart very strongly, and it's scaring him. And I understand that. But I think as time goes on, you know, you'll all see that I'm not, you know, I mean, if you think that I'm, you know, fixing to bring the world of Christmas into this church, you're dreaming. That's way far from what I'm saying. Sister Weiniger? Sister Weiniger's got a question.
Well, maybe a statement. I thought you've heard that you give them an inch and they'll take a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is probably brought balance just like you wanted, because I'm one of them people who would probably go overboard.
And you certainly are.
And I need to be reminded sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Appreciate it. In fact, all
Well, probably, you know, honestly, most women would probably love a lot of this decoration and stuff, you know. And
all this year, that word balance, I would say it's been right at a year. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has brought that to my mind.
All right. Well, brothers, yes, go ahead, Brother Bryant. Yeah. It's probably because they're lazy and they just don't want to take them down, put them back up. All right, let's go upstairs.